1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story that Brian used all week at the conference. And let's start in verse like 11. You know, we got Goliath, right? And we got Goliath and the Philistines on this mountain. You got Israel over here. And it says in verse 11 that when Saul, 1 Samuel 17:11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So Saul spoke, and what does it say? They were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were shattered. They were literally broken. They were greatly afraid. You know why? They reverenced Goliath's words more than they did God's words. That's what fear is. They took heed and they gave it a bigger platform than with the things that they already knew that their God had said. And so when you work on down through here, David gets involved in all this, right? David comes along to feed his brothers. I'm not going to repeat the story because we heard it about six times last week. But go down to verse 24. So David finally, he's on the scene now. And Goliath comes out. And it says in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. So we can see what they're doing when Goliath comes on. This monster is coming on the scene. They fled, they're sore afraid. One, they heard him. The next thing, they seen him, right? And so look at verse 26. Here's what David did. Excuse me. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see what David did? When David spoke, he said, he's reproaching God's people, us. He's defying the armies of the living God. This guy's uncircumcised, but he is not part of... So see what David did? David knows God's word. Regardless of what Goliath was saying, how big he was, how loud his voice was, David was listening to the Lord and saying, who is this guy? And he's looking, here is this little ruddy guy looking at the other, all these soldiers going, I can't believe you guys would let him talk this way, you know? It's like at school, you know how it used to be at school? You have some scrawny little kids sitting at the desk and everybody start talking about it. These people are picking on him. We've all seen this in the classroom. And if you haven't, you haven't lived. And so they're giving this guy the business. And finally somebody just says, you know what? Your mom. What? Your mom. Yeah, all the dirty stuff they were just talking about. He said, yeah, your mom. He said, your mom didn't think so last night. I just love watching this little scrawny kid get start throwing desk. You don't talk about my mom, you know. And here David is, he's just, you don't talk about our God that way. I don't care how big you are. It don't work that way, you know. And so in verse 28, David's inquiring about all this stuff. But look at the end of verse 28. His brothers are like, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You just came, this is none of your business. What are you doing here? So here a guy who's going to take Goliath's voice and take God's voice, he's inquiring about this, and his brothers call him haughty and proud. If you're going to obey the Lord and follow him and take God's word over every voice on the planet, there's going to be a group of people, probably in this church, that think you're arrogant. They're going to call you proud. Who do you think you are? Well, we use a fancier word today. She's just legalistic. No, she's obedient. That's what she's doing, like David here. But that's, so just to let you know, if you're going to do what God told you to do, people are going to say, you're haughty and proud. Look at verse 29. David said, man, what have I done? I love this verse, man. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Whew. There is a cause. There's a great cause. Right in the balance here, man. Guys, as a church, if I'm going to sit around and push a church app more than I'm going to push the gospel, failure. Failure. The whole point ain't that. The whole point is saying, years ago people used to say this, back when churches, music was terrible. Ours was bad too. But a lot of churches had real bad music and people would say, man, you want to come to our church, man? We got like good music. We really got good. I don't know where I got this voice that name, but it keeps coming out. Sorry. But we got good music in our church. Now everybody should have good music. They got the capability with technology. You know, really, you're going to tell people that? You know, hey, come to our church. I used to get guys to church in high school. I said, hey, dude, we got a ton of ladies in our church. We had a youth group of over 200 people. Come, we got some fine women.
And the problem was, you know, I did want them to meet Jesus Christ, but I think I was looking at fine women more than I was, you know, looking at the Bible, trying to get them into God's Word. So there's a cause. We got a great cause, and our job is to point people to the Savior. We're about the gospel, man. People need to get saved. And if you're in this room and if you've been saved even for a couple months, I'll put the shame on you, man, if you're not openly talking about the gospel. That's what it's about. Guys, this is not about even Maple City Baptist Church. There's a handful of churches in this area that preach the gospel. And that's when we just say, praise the Lord. I'll never shoot that down, man. We should promote it, you know, and make disciples. What happened to the day where you just sit with somebody else who's like, here's how you walk with the Lord. You take them through lessons. They get the doctrine down. It's about making disciples. People get saved. Then we see them grow. Then they see them plug in the ministry. Then they leave our church and go do it at another church. That's how it works. That's the cycle. And that's all right. We're producing ministers. I'm happy about that. And when I see them in the grocery store, I'm not mad at them. It's okay. Really? Really? Is there not a cause? We got a great cause here. It's to get the gospel to the entire planet. Any way we can do it. Any way we can do it, unashamedly. And if you have to send somebody a link or give them an app or say, hey, check this out. Hey, could you do me a favor? You know the bridge presentation? That's all over YouTube. Unfortunately, some people, you know what they do? They give you a bridge presentation and it takes 14 minutes. I'm like, nobody wants that. Do you know people's attention span? Let me tell you something. Here's a little secret. If you want to get the word to people's lives, if our church can use technology to get to people, if we can figure out how to keep people from scrolling, if what you do is interesting enough that they want to stop, well, we're on to something there. And that's when we blast the gospel. What? That's what we do right there. People go, what? What in God's name? It's true. Look back to the story. Verse 32. You know, David basically speaks up and goes, he said to Saul, hey, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I like that. Verse 33, what's Saul say? Saul says, you can't fight that guy. Hey, guess what? When you do what God says, there's going to be a lot of people saying, you? You can't beat that guy. Who do you think you are? And you know what David said? David never just said, let me tell you, I'm the greatest warrior. At this point, he'd never fought. But he said, you know, I did fight a lion and bear because they were messing with sheep. So he was saying, I'm a good shepherd. What a rebuke to Saul.
Yeah.
And you're a bad one. There's a lion out there right now with a roar. You should be the one to go out there. Saul never volunteered to go out. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. Ain't that a crazy story? He's a coward. David wasn't a coward. It says in verse 34, David said, the lion and the bear. You know what it says in verse 35? David says, and I went out after him. I just like that. David's like, yeah, there was a bear. I went out after him. Remember that girl and her little chihuahuas on the porch? We showed that video. That bear came over the wall, was going to get nag one of those dogs. And here this little skinny, scrawny girl is. And she's just like, what is she? She didn't know what to do. And she's like, so she went after the bear. And she pushed the bear off this wall and got her dogs inside. And I was just like, wow, that was just like David. She didn't think about it. She just had to act. She went out. He said, I went out after him. And then it says, and smote him. But anyways, David did all that work, all the grabbed it by the beard and smote it and all that. But look at verse 37. And David said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. I like that. He knows who his victor was,
yeah.
Right? He knew who the champion of the battle was. So David gave credit to the Lord. We know this part. I'm getting to, here's my points coming up. In verse 45, is everybody there? 1 Samuel 17:45. If you're there, say, ah! All right. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield. I got news for you, pal. I came to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied, man. So I like David. David's like, I tell you what, dude, I know you're an awful big guy, but you are small in comparison to the God I know. And so David came out, and it says in verse 45, we just read that, 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David was going to magnify God. Oh, Goliath was big, but David was going to do this, so the whole world was going to start talking about his God, right? So that's exactly right. The world is going to know. And guys, here's my whole point. If you can get to this point right here, you got it. The point is in verse 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came, drew nigh to meet David. Watch this. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David single-handedly ran towards the whole army, knowing he was going to go through the Philistine first, you know. He hasted and he ran. He made application to the things he knew that he needed to do. It's about application. He ran. And a lot of them are squeamish, like, I don't know, should I? We need to be more like this. We need to run. That's exactly what we need to do. Did you know that faith without works is dead, James chapter 2? Faith without works is dead. It's like buying a bag of concrete. You got to mix some water in that stuff. Another secret, if you have some wet ground or it's going to rain in a couple days, don't put any water in it. Just pour the dry in the ground. It'll get hard. It'll harden up because it'll suck moisture from the ground. But it takes both. You got to have the mixture, right? You got to have it mixed. The moisture's got to get it, and then together it'll make something very, very good and very, very hard. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, before you this day, I'm going to get a blessing and a cursing. You know what the blessing is? The blessing is if you obey the Bible. The cursing is if you don't. You know what the blessing of the Christian life is? It's no different. Obey. Make application to what you've heard. To what you know that you were supposed to do, apply it. This is about not a church app. It's about you and me apping the Bible, man, applying what God's word said. We got to do what God's word says. Or 2 Corinthians 8, I like Paul. We're not going to turn there, but Paul says, hey, church, there's got to be a performance in the things you know there are to do and the things that are right. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 11, it actually has to do with like a giving context. But a performance, you know what that is? Bring it to an end, man. That's what you do. Accomplish it. Execute it. Have the little task, your wife wants you to do something around the house. It's annoying. I don't want to do it. I put it off. She's nagging me about it now. What in the deal? And then I'm finally like, I'm sick and tired of your mouth. You know, I don't say that. I'm like, yeah, since you're such a sweet, loving wife, and you requested this of me, I'm going to get on it right now. Usually when I do the task, a lot of times it's a short task. 20 minutes later, I'm like, why have I been mad for 2 weeks that she's nagging me on this? If I would have just performed the task, right? It would have been over and done. I think sometimes it's this way with the Lord in our lives, right? I love Tony Evans when he says, you know, the Bible, our lives are like a motion light. We want more light. But motion lights have to have movement to get illumination. We've got to be a people that are about application. So notice this app works on mobile devices. The Bible will work, right? The Bible will work when we're mobile people. When we're putting it into action, it totally works. That's the way it goes. For real. And he says, hey, don't be a hearer of the word. Be a what? A doer. Do what it says, man. Application. That's exactly what it's about. It's all about application. That's why the Bible says, hey, man, you got the Spirit of God inside of you? Yeah, if you're saved, you'd say, I got the Spirit of God inside you. Now, walk in the Spirit. See, what's the walking? It's like every newborn baby we see on the planet. We want to get them to that point where they take steps. It's never pretty. There's going to be a lot of falling, but folks, you've got to move. You got to move. And that's a lot of you rescue your kids in the midst of trouble. You can't do that. When they're little babies, keep letting them get after it. Go, go, go. It's application of the things we know. And eventually you're going to move and you're going to walk. And you'll walk in God's Spirit, man. And so I'm sorry to take up so much time talking about the app. Let's work it. Let's move it together. If there's a problem, text the church. By the way, that number you got, Save It Is the Church, because you know how that is. I couldn't pick a local number. They gave us that one. Save It Is MCBC. But get on the church app. You can email us. Hey, I got something to say. You know how it is. Offices of Go MC. And just say, let's do this. Hey, have you ever thought about this? There's a program over. These people do this over here. Hey, what about this? And guess what? If it's something great, I'm like, that's incredible. We can't do nothing like that. That's incredible. Well, then you know what we'll do? We'll just put, hey, check this out, and we'll make a button, and it'll be their link. I don't care. We just want the gospel to get out any way we can. Thank you for your Thanksgiving videos, some of you that sent in. And let me tell you what we're going to do. I preached a couple, three small Thanksgiving messages. I'm talking like a minute or two. And so on the app tomorrow, and it'll also be on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and maybe over on Instagram, we're going to have your videos and me a mini sermon every day on Thanksgiving. You know what you can do? Forward that to people. Forward, just say, hey, just thought this might be a blessing to you today. And so it's just some of you saying what you're thankful for. And then I'm literally taking a passage of scripture just saying, man, here's what we can be thankful for today. So we'll just do that up until Thanksgiving. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to start doing more of that. So sound good? So if you got anything out of today, let's be about application. These apps were created for mobile people. We're going to mobilize, and that's why the application of Scripture works. We got a new nature, Peter says. It works when we put it on and we do it, right? It's just totally true. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the cross, man. Thank you for taking our sin and dying and buried. Thank you for coming back to life. I'm thankful. Lord, for all the good people you put in our ministry. And God, we have a great responsibility to get the word to the world. God, a lot of us have been riding the wrong horse for a long time. And I'm thankful. God, thanks for using the Vision Conference to open our eyes, to show us these things that we've been fighting wrong battles even. So help us to be about the gospel. Help us to be about making disciples any way we can. God, I pray that we can use technology. And I pray that we can use it to lift you up. I pray that we can use it to facilitate making disciples. And nothing more, nothing less, God. So I pray we use it as a tool. Help us to be balanced in our use of it. Lord, we all need help in that area with social media. It's consuming our lives. And Lord, a lot of it ain't good. And so we just want to be a people that's balanced. Lord, help us to, this week, just walk in your word. Help us to be a praying people. Lord, this week, more than normal, I pray this. We're real conscious of giving thanks. Help us to give thanks to the world. The world could hear us giving thanks to you so they can hear and they can glorify you. But you know, by our works. So, Lord, you've done a great work in our lives. We're thankful today. I'm thankful for Maple City Baptist Church. We love you so much today. Lord, every word we sang is true. And we just, you're worth it and you're worthy. It's in your precious holy name we pray. Amen.